Well, hello everybody and welcome to this seminar at Multiply 2021. This is the missional coaching seminar where we're going to be looking at missional coaching, its principles and why it can be so helpful for pioneers and planters. Before we begin, just a bit of housekeeping. We're going to be recording this session, so it'll be available in the future to watch through ccx.media. The only people visible will be myself and the panelists and the speaker. If you post a question, please do so in the question box. And then if somebody else has the same question, just click like, and then it will get upvoted so it can get answered sooner and actually be seen more clearly. Please do use the chat section for chat and the Q&A for questions so that your questions don't get missed. And do share anything you find interesting or informative on social media using the hashtag MultiplyX2021 or our handle at Gregory Center CCX. I'm your host, Paul. With me today are Darren, Mark, and Claire. Guys, before we go any further, please could you each introduce yourselves? Darren, let's start with you.
Hi, my name's Darren Wolf, and I oversee the GROW program at the Gregory Centre for Church Multiplication, and I'm also a minister in East London.
Fantastic. Claire?
I'm Claire, and I run an organisation called 3D Coaching, and we offer coaching and training in coaching to people around the world so that they can have better conversations.
And Mark?
Hi, my name's Mark Dunwoody, and I'm the co-founder of Missional Formation Coaching. And like Claire, we offer coach training and coaching to leaders around the world.
Wonderful. I'm so excited to be hearing from you guys today. We're going to start our time by hearing a short talk from Darren, and I'll then invite Mark and Claire to join in with a discussion. And also you guys, the delegates, please send in your questions as we go, and we'll try to weave them in throughout the conversation after Darren has shared his talk. So Darren, would you be able to kick things off for us?
Absolutely, thank you so much. I am gonna try and answer the question why missional formation coaching. So I should own up first of all that I'm not a professional coach. My initial training was in psychology. I qualified as a psychotherapist initially, and then I ended up in management. So I'm very used to mentoring and coaching as a part of professional life of the organisations that I've worked in. And I'm now a church leader in East London, which I love. And obviously there's a lot of coaching involved in that. And currently I oversee the GROW programme here at the Gregory Centre for Church Multiplication. And we aim to help churches grow in numbers and depth and impact. And we offer coaching to every leader who brings their church on the course, because we really rate what churching can do. So I'm a huge advocate for coaching and a huge ambassador for coaching, if you like, because I think it's just got such huge potential. So I'm going to share my screen just as we go through what I've got to say. I'm going to be answering the question, why coaching? And first of all, I just want to sort of situate coaching, if you like, on a spectrum of kind of other interventions. So you can see there, you know, over on the left hand side that we've got counseling and spiritual direction. So interventions that are a little bit more individual and interior and reflective. And then over on the right hand side of the screen, we've got mentoring and consultancy, things that are a little bit maybe more organizationally focused, a little bit more exterior, and a little bit more performance focused. And coaching, I've put there in the middle, and you can see that I've given it a little bit of an overlap with mentoring, because it does sometimes overlap with mentoring, and I've given it a bit of an overlap with spiritual direction, because particularly in the context that we're thinking about coaching, there is an overlap with spiritual direction. So why coaching? Well, you know, the short answer is I think that Jesus did coaching. I mean, I'm not trying to say that discipleship and coaching are exactly the same, but there's an element of coaching in discipleship, and Jesus in all sorts of places shows us what that looks like. You know, the way that he asks questions, who do all these people say that I am? And so then who do you say that I am? That's a sort of coaching strategy. You know, he asks questions, he explores, he presses, he compares. Paul did it. We see his relationships with Timothy and Titus. And it's this, you know, this it's not saying that coaching is the same as discipleship, but it's definitely an element of discipleship. And so coaching isn't just an extra resource to help us along. You know, at a really profound level, it's a recognition that anything that's worthwhile can't be done alone. It's a recognition that we need at least one other person speaking into what we're doing if we're going to grow as we do that thing. That we're sort of made, if you like, at our most fundamental sort of psychological, physiological level to do things with at least one other person, if not a bunch of other people. And so if we want to grow our churches in numbers, in depth, in impact, if we want to plant churches, then the first thing to acknowledge is that you can't do it on your own. And that's where coaching comes in. So what does coaching add? What does coaching add? Well, I'm going to go through a list of things that I think coaching adds. You know, you may have your own views about whether these do actually add anything, or you may have some other things that you want to throw into the conversation. Feel free to put those on the chat. First of all, coaching adds a mission focus. So as church leaders, we're entrusted with God's mission. This is God's work that we're doing, God's work to, you know, proclaim the wisdom of God and to grow the church. That's God's work. And it's easy to lose sight of that. It's easy to end up focusing on all the other stuff that gets thrown at you, whether that's, you know, mediating in, I don't know, arguments between team members, or whether that's sorting out a leaky roof, whatever it is. And staying focused on mission is so, so key. And so there's a constant course correction is often needed to make sure that the main thing stays the main thing. We often don't notice when we've gone off course. We often don't notice when our energies have been dispersed or dissipated across a whole load of things that are making demands on our time. But keeping that mission focused is learning to appreciate, to keep the main thing the main thing. And that means if something isn't a definite yes, then it's a definite no. If something isn't a definite yes, then it's a definite no. And coaching can keep our mission focus the main thing. Secondly, spiritual formation. In some coaching models, this will be values. But it's kind of like, you know, one of the main issues that correlates with churches not growing, maybe even declining, is a lack of spiritual disciplines on the part of the church leader. If we're not making space for the Spirit to show up and speak to us, if we're not making space to connect with God, whether that's in scripture, in prayer, sacraments, fasting, giving, Sabbath, retreats, whatever it is, if we're not doing that, then we haven't got anything to share. Mark Dunwoody in his book talks about ebb and flow, that pattern of giving out and receiving, and the need to get that right. And we have to be intentional about that, because it doesn't happen by accident. And so coaching can help us to be intentional about spiritual formation. Coaching helps to keep spiritual formation as the foundation of our ministry, so that we've got something to share. Thirdly, coaching keeps us action focused. Lots of us church leaders, we're often really good at reading lots and, you know, taking on board lots of new ideas and learning lots of stuff. We read lots of theology and cultural studies and literature, and we read the Bible a lot. And I love all of those things. But one of the things that we're sometimes not so good at is taking what we've learned and putting it into action. Implementation. And implementation is, you know, what makes learning valuable. It's when it makes a difference, when we can put something into practice. And coaching is often really good at taking things that we're reading and saying, what's the link between that and the things that we're doing? So coaching can keep an action focus on our learning. So it stops just being great ideas and it becomes implemented change in our lives and in our churches. Fourthly, delegation. So coaching helps us make sure that we are not trying to do everything ourselves. I know a lot of us just try and do everything ourselves. You know, when I talk to church leaders who are struggling, often they'll say, it's only me, which is, you know, may or may not be true, or I certainly sympathize that it might feel like that sometimes, but we can't do everything. And some of us are great at giving other people jobs to do. We're great at giving other people tasks. You know, we can get them to do the specific jobs that we can't do or that we don't want to do. But what really makes a difference isn't delegating tasks, it's delegating responsibility, it's delegating authority. And this is the kind of delegation that Jesus did. You know, Matthew 10 is all about he gave them authority and then he sent them off to do, you know, all of the stuff that he was doing. And this is probably the most important area to look at after spiritual formation. There's a direct correlation again between churches that are growing and leaders who delegate authority, who delegate responsibility, who can give enough space for other people to lead as well. And so coaching can help you to delegate responsibility well for your ministry or your church. A good coach, I think, models delegated responsibility. You know, a good coach will never take the responsibility for your work and your decisions and your actions away from you. They'll help you to hold it and to flourish in your own way. So coaching helps and models with delegation. Number five, perspective. Church leaders, it's easy to be isolated. It's easy not to have lots of colleagues or peers to chat to about all of the stuff that's going on. It's easy just to end up, you know, only seeing people at conferences like this, or and even now that's online. So, you know, we can spend a lot of time on our own. And that isolation means that we often can see things just through the lens of our own experience and our own understanding. And big issues which we should be attending to, maybe big cultural issues or social issues, or you know, they can completely pass us by. And then small things can seem like insurmountable problems. And so coaching provides another perspective. And often a coach will, you know, offer some conversation partners, maybe some articles or books or colleagues who've experienced similar things as a way of getting a bigger perspective to widen our vision and generate possibility, you know, what the art of the possible. And so coaching helps us with a broader perspective. Number six, perseverance. It may be that there are specific obstacles that you're facing that you feel are insurmountable, or it may just be that in this season, you know, like lots of us, you're feeling depleted. You're feeling tank half empty, you're tired of pivoting, you're ready for a rest. And coaching doesn't just help us to keep on track with our goals and our aims. It can help us to make space as well to explore where we are and what we're bringing and how we can get to where we want to go without burning out completely. Perseverance is a Christian virtue, and we grow in perseverance by practicing it, by practicing not giving up. So if you're thinking of giving up, then a coach can help you find a different way of working, hopefully a more manageable way of working, help you to identify how not to get to that giving up place or how not to find yourself there again. Coaching can help us with perseverance. Number seven, self-awareness. Self-awareness is a great quality to have, but the problem is it's not an absolute. So self-awareness in a practical sense is understanding how we impact the people around us. And of course, the people around us are all different. So, you know, some of us are painfully anxious about how we're impacting people. If you're pastorally gifted, you may be super sensitive about how what you're doing is affecting the people that you're working with. If you're maybe more of a prophetic gifting, or maybe if you're more apostolic in your style, maybe like Paul or John the Baptist, then maybe you don't stay up all night stressing that people might be hurt because you called them a brood of vipers. You know, maybe that's just like just washes off you. But self-awareness is relative. It's an ongoing journey of self-understanding, learning how we function in different situations on different days at different stages of life. Learning how we impact different groups of people and how we can be intentional in the ways that we adjust and adapt to impact in the way that we intend to and the way that we want to. And coaching provides us with someone else who can see how we're working, who can see how we're functioning, and can offer us a feedback loop to reflect back to us how things might be experienced by people around us, perhaps in ways that we hadn't realized. So coaching helps us with self-awareness. Number 8, relationships. Patterns of relationship which don't move things forward get stuck. So, you know, often, you know, if I'm in a coaching relationship with someone, often I find myself, you know, very gently pointing out to someone that they've been, you know, working with Freddie for 6 months, trying to get Freddie to achieve something, and Freddie hasn't shown any signs of achieving that thing. And maybe it's time to find Freddie something else to do, and, you know, to adopt a different technique. Now coaching isn't therapy, but simple coaching competencies like questioning and reflecting back can give us a better understanding of how our personal interactions and relationships are working. So coaching isn't therapy, but it can be helpful in enabling us to generate options in relationships. You know, it's often in our patterns of relating to other people that we get stuck in the same holding patterns, you know, with the same circle around us of the same type of people that we tend to work with, working with them in the same kind of way, and the expectations of them are similar across the board. And what we lose there is an openness, you know, not just to our own potential in relationships, but an openness to the diversity of gifts that people can bring, the diversity of different backgrounds, the diversity of different experiences. All of that is closed off to us when our relationships and our relationship capacity isn't growing. So coaching can help us generate more options for working relationships. And one last thing that I think coaching adds is motivation. So motivation comes from the Latin word for to move, and it's the forces or the powers that move us forwards and keep us going. And coaching can't supply motivation, but it can help us to clarify why we're doing something and what will keep us going in the right direction. It can help us to spot when our motivations are mixed, when we're trying to achieve too many things or things that might sort of contradict each other or not be possible together. Or, you know, like when we want to please people or avoid a challenge or keep doing the same thing, but get completely different results. And so as we emerge from lockdown, you know, lots of us will be dealing with kind of low level anxiety, maybe low level depression, a feeling of being depleted, and coaching can't correct the impact, you know, of that on our motivation, but it can make sure that we take those factors into account in what we're expecting of ourselves and of other people. So coaching can help us to deal intentionally with motivation factors. So coaching then. The goal in coaching is, you know, our goal, if you like, is Christ-likeness in mission, in character, in action, in everything that we do. And coaching is actually really simple. I mean, we've got two professionals here, it's super, super complicated, but actually its principles are really simple. You know, it's not a complex intervention. The toolbox of coaching has at its core really simple practices of listening and reflecting and questioning and generating options. And that's why at CCX, at the Center for Church Multiplication, we're committed to coaching as a key part of the GROW program, and why we'd love to see coaching even more widely embedded in the church, specifically in the Church of England, but much more widely in the church as a way of supporting and encouraging and developing leaders. Thank you for listening.
Wow, Darren, that was amazing. So much in there to unpack. And I mean, I've already got some of my own questions, and a question has come in, but I just wondered, before we get a conversation maybe with those questions, perhaps our panelists, if you guys wanted to reflect on anything there that Darren said, or if you had something else to input, it'd be great to hear from you. Claire, is there anything you'd like to come in with off the back of that?
Well, Darren, I'm absolutely with you that coaching is simple. And actually, when we make things complicated, we disempower people. And I loved what you said about having more Christ-like conversations. And I think what's really interesting in the church is we form leaders to be a bit more fixing and telling. And actually, the thing that we need is space to feel heard and get new insights into our own stuff, which is actually how Jesus had conversations. So I'm with you. And there's some really interesting questions that I'm sure will emerge as we begin to talk together. Fantastic. What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, I learned loads from you, Darren. Thanks very much. Lots of good content there. Yeah, I mean, I love everything you say, and we're just, you know, in the age of the church, in the world that we're in a participatory age. And it reminds me of a little story that I use as well, and comes from the world of software, where a chicken and a pig's walking down the road, and the chicken says to the pig, "Do you fancy opening a restaurant?" And the pig says, "Yeah, what should we call it?" And the chicken looks at the pig and said, "We'll call it Ham and Eggs." And the chicken, the pig looked at the chicken and said, "Well, if we opened that restaurant, I would be committed, but you would be involved." And I think that's where we are. You know, that's where my heart's broke for so many years of sitting beside priests and pastors and church planters who are broken, who have nothing left. So the power of coaching to actually ask yourself in your leadership, are you committed, or are you just involved in the leadership of the people you're working with? And I think the power of coaching across all types of organizations now are really, it's really coming to the fore. And if you look at any MBAs and thought pieces from leadership across the world, it's moving towards coaching. So it's just fascinating. And I thought you did a great summary there.
Wow. So, hey guys, the questions have started to come in, which is great. So let's see here. Okay, let's start with this one. So we've got a question here from Stephen or Stefan. What do you find are the biggest areas where coaches can help pioneer evangelists? What do you find are the biggest areas where coaches can help pioneer evangelists? Just take yourselves off mute and jump in if you have something to offer on that.
I think that pioneers generally, not always, but often pioneers are external processors. Mm. So take themselves off on their own to think something through, and they'll go really slowly and not be very useful to themselves. And I think one of the things that coaching brings is a place for people to think out loud and have somebody keep them company while they think. And also going back to what Darren said, to move from 20 billion ideas to actually something that's doable and that's going to move them forwards.
Yeah, I love that. The platform that we've created for coaching training is really, like, the heart behind it is to disrupt and democratize coaching training across the world. And it's mobile first. And I was talking to a guy this morning in Bangkok, and he's used the training. And it's funny that question came up, because he described himself as a pioneer evangelist. And what happens sometimes is, you know, people are very good with their spiritual practices and not so missional, and vice versa. The missional folks run off, and you know what happens. So one of the things in our model is just doing the daily examine every day. So he's a pioneer evangelist. He loves to go, go, go. The first thing he thought when he was thinking about doing the examine every day, that would be one more thing to take me away from my wife. So what he has done is doing it with his wife every evening. They do the daily examine. So that practice, in his own words, has changed his life and ministry. That one practice that's been around for hundreds and hundreds of years has changed the way he looks at ministry, and it's grounded him more in his relationship with God and his wife. So I think, yeah, for pioneer evangelists, you know, you're really going to have to keep connected to your spiritual roots and look to Jesus and look to scripture and look to what the church has learned in the past, and do all your exciting stuff that God's called you towards.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And it's interesting because I'm an introvert, and I probably process too much internally. So I'll know when something's not right with me, but I won't even be able to articulate it to myself, let alone somebody else. So I'll spend a couple of days fretting and simmering, thinking, I know something's wrong, but I don't know what it is. And then eventually I might open my mouth and voice that to my wife or somebody else, and it starts unfolding, which is really helpful. Mm-hmm. But I just wondered, off the back of that, we do have other questions. Are there any questions like the examine that are healthy questions to ask yourself. You know, so someone like me, for instance, I'll go through that process before I get to that stage of asking somebody else, are there any quick fire things maybe I can just say to myself, or somebody who's similar can just say, hey, you need to ask yourself this question before you keep thinking about this.
Here's one. What's my question about this?
What's my question about this?
Because often we go, what's my problem? But actually, if you go, what's my question about that, this, it begins to move you forwards.
Mm.
Yeah. Love that.
Yeah.
And being Irish, I'll give the whimsical answer. It's if you follow our missional formation coaching stuff, the premise is of the beauty of having these big storms coming into the Irish coast. And after the storm, I would love to go out, not to look for the desolation, but to look for the new beach. So I think a good pre-question is say, what is a new beach in our lives? What is God calling us towards? And what is God, what's God calling us towards this great tension that we live in of like bringing something new to the world? Like, what does that look like? So, because if you can start at that place and you can really believe the Jesus part of your life and believe that you have enough, you are enough, and you're doing enough, it releases you to what Claire's saying, you know, to sort of think, right, what is, who am I and what does this mean to live into God's purpose in my life?
Really helpful.
Yeah.
I've got another question here. This is from David, and it's linked to something Ben's asked. How presumably it is quite vital to get the right person to coach you. How would you go about choosing the right coach? Wow. It's like top trumps for coaches. How do you go about choosing the right coach?
It's a dating app for coaches, isn't it?
We need to create a D in that, that's true. I'd worked in St Albans before here, and I led the project there, and I would say the single biggest element of our project that led to it was the coaching of Claire. You know, the model of 3D coaching is just so simplistic and so powerful. There's a myriad of coaches out there. Again, it just goes back to your values, the values that you'd like to lean into of the coaches that you're seeking, you know. And a good coach will always have a conversation with you first, because sometimes it just isn't a good fit, you know.
Yeah, and I would say try someone out, and your testing question is, did I feel heard and did I get new insights into my own stuff? And if you didn't get new insights and it was all about that, them getting insights into your stuff, then go find somebody else.
Yeah.
That's really helpful. David's asked, as a coach, in brackets for church planters, how do I connect with those who are wanting this? What's a good way to connect with people or reach out to them if they're wanting this kind of coaching? Any tips?
Don't look like you're selling it. Well, they won't come to you, David.
I think hopefully I've asked that in the right way. Apologies if I haven't, David.
I think it is. Yeah. It's starting with your team. It's like, and if you haven't got a team, get a team. And if you're not sure how to get a team, do the plant course or the grow course. But it is starting with the people that you're doing stuff with. And, you know, it's sort of it. Otherwise, it's not that it's wrong to have an external coach at all. You know, I've got an external coach. It's great. It's fantastic. But, you know, equally, sort of like having that embedded in the kind of relationships that you have is really, really handy. And just coming back to the pioneer evangelist again, you know, how can coaching help you? I would say, you know, equip yourself as a coach. So that it's not just about you being an evangelist, but so that you're actually, you know, helping others to sort of to grow in the way that they're evangelists as well. And that's really, you know, sort of sign up for you know, one of the two courses that are represented here. And, you know, both of them are amazing. and they will help you to grow as a coach. So,
Yeah, and just Google what makes a good coach. You know, like if, again, we're in a, you know, we were in a world of church for years where there was established church for hundreds of years where the church had the power. And then we moved to enlightenment and the church turned into a corporate church with lots of programs and we did mission and everything else. The last 100 years we're in a participatory age. We've seen the rise of the participatory church where God's already working, we're joining in it. And we can see with this conference today, I mean, across the world, there's millions and millions of new churches being created. And really, like, to participate in people's lives through just these three questions, as any leader should be able to think about, is anybody will be asking this of you as a leader. Do you care for me? Can you help me? And can I trust you? And if you can't answer those three questions in every email, every conversation, the way you carry yourself in leadership, you're probably going to struggle, you know, building any sort of team or building any sort of longevity in ministry. So we're in a really, the good news where the internet's here, everyone's been disrupted. We just need to lean into that.
Can I just pick up on David's other question, which was about the benefits of an external coach versus somebody who knows the context? Clearly, there's a, I would say, start with a coaching culture in your bit of the church of the world. So start by encouraging others by having conversations that in which they feel heard and get new insights. Sometimes you'll need to go to somebody who's a little bit outside your world. And that might be somebody else in your region who just isn't quite in your local bit. And occasionally it's useful for people to go to somebody who's completely outside, because perhaps everybody's a bit stuck with something and an external person is useful. But I would say always start locally. I had a conversation yesterday with somebody who's a church leader regionally. And she said, can we use your coaches? And I said, please don't, because we're very expensive for the thing that you want the coaching for. We're very good value for money when you want specialists, but actually you want to use the people that you've already got, who won't charge you any money.
That's exactly right. That's so good. Yeah. That's so good. And I think CCX, the thing that we get asked for most is can someone be coached by someone from a similar churchmanship as themselves? And I get that completely. You know, it's all about, not having to explain, from the ground up kind of what your assumptions are. But I think there is also, as Claire says, it's kind of like once you're sort of dealing with bigger issues that everyone has got stuck with, actually getting someone speaking in from outside or asking questions that actually people within your set of assumptions are never going to ask can actually be super, super helpful. So it is making the judgment, like which box you're sitting in, really.
We've got two questions here and we've got about 4 to 5 minutes left. Two here are asking about training resources for understanding better practice of coaching, and also what were the two courses that you mentioned, Darren, represented here as well. If we could just clarify some of those resources. Claire, I know there was a book as well. Do talk about it. Darren, could you go first about the courses, and then Claire, and then Mark as well, any courses.
The two courses that were Claire's course and Mark's course. So that's I don't know Claire's course so well, but Mark's course, Missional Formation Coaching, is the one that we're exploring at CCX to see whether that could be one that we'll press into. But it looks an excellent course, and I would commend it to anyone. So, and it's completely, it's mobile based, so it's easy to do, and fits into kind of like a busy schedule, really easy to do. And you can just find that. I think the web link is just coming up in the chat if you want to explore that. Claire, I think.
Awesome.
I'll get Mark to talk about mine.
Okay, good.
Claire's is, cut a long story short, nearly, we put a few hundred people through Claire's, and all of them said it was one of the best things they'd ever done in their lives, especially the clergy, because it's Claire's coaching is really so stripped back and so laser focused. It's incredible. So it's so if someone's coming to you in a church hall and saying there's no blue rule left, go to Claire's coaching and she'll tell you how to figure that out, you know. But yeah, Claire's coaching is just amazing. I think we're a wee bit different in that I do, or we do lean in a lot to the missional spiritual. We're sort of threefold of spiritual formation, coaching practice, and missional practices. So it's a wee bit different. And it's all mobile based. And I suppose our heart is just really to put it in places around the world that don't have access to this type of thing. Claire's course is literally one of the best coaching frameworks I've ever seen. And I nick a lot of it for the stuff that I do.
Thank you, Mark. That's better than I could have said. And actually, if you want a book about the foundation, the fundamental foundation of coaching, I do recommend mine, simply because it's called Simplifying Coaching and it takes all of the fluff out of it and goes absolutely down to the core of how do you have a conversation in which somebody feels heard and gets new insights without any of the extra bits around. And if you read that, it will help you to be discerning about what's available, because it's possible to spend a lot of money, I'm not talking about Mark's, but there are billions of courses out there and a lot of them are very expensive and teach you a whole load of things you don't need to know.
Okay, I think we've got time for one more question, guys. So here we go. Here's one. Ideally, do you think a coaching person in your life comes about organically? So is it someone who just invests in you that can become a coach? Or should it always be somebody that you go and seek out to give you a hand?
That's our book, Just a Healthy Rhythms book, that we sort of talk about the framework of the thing. And we're also bringing out a book just about the missional formation coaching course in a couple of months. But I think the answer to that is yes. If you think back to someone that influenced you, you know, there's someone always, you know, like a wise mentor. You know, Joseph Campbell talks about the myth, the hero's journey, and any type of journey into something new, there's always a wise mentor, coach type person that takes look Skywalker and helps them along, wherever it's going to be. And we're the same in our lives. You know, there's been people, if you look back, that have influenced your life. And I think even to model those rhythms and practices and values that person had in our lives, you know, going forward with our families and our church groups and everything else, is a very powerful experience to draw from.
Can I pick up that question that's just come up, because I think that clarifies a bit. So coaching is facilitating somebody's thinking without putting stuff in, and mentoring is like coaching with content. So when I'm your mentor, I know something you don't know, and I'll tell you if that's useful to you, and if it isn't useful, then I won't tell you. Whereas in coaching, I don't put in. So I would absolutely agree with Mark. I think mentors come about organically. I think sometimes coaches do, and sometimes we need to go and ask somebody else, who do you recommend who could really help me work through this thing? So mentoring is a longer term relationship, and coaching often is a much shorter term thing, but not always. I've got somebody I've worked with for 20 years. I tend to work for 20 years or one session.
Guys, this has been absolutely fabulous, and we could talk much, much longer about all of it, but we're going to have to bring it to a close. But thank you so much to Mark, Darren and Claire for all that you've shared. It's been super helpful. But coming up next on this channel, we'll have Wale, Tina and Ben speaking on going together and building a team. And actually, it'll be interesting, if you've watched this seminar, to think about what's been said and take it into that one to see what the correlation is. Those guys, they're going to be talking about how to discern who you will have in your planting team, how you identify people, what skills you need, and how to build life as a team. Alternatively, you could hop on to one of our other 9 channels. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on, but we're going to have a few minutes intermission now before we kick off our next slot at 3:10. So do sit back here, enjoy all that we have in store for you during the break. It's also a great opportunity for a comfort stop or to top up your coffee. And once again, thank you so much to Darren, Mark and Claire. You've been amazing.
Thank you.
See you later.
Thanks for having us.
Bye. Bye.